It was extraordinary to me. I mean, Jesus Christ. There were four guys. It sounded like a war.
I say what ho, this is Brian on the road to Cashmere Gardener, coming to you from the front seat of the Ramble On Radio Limo in scenic Rosso, Ontario, on my way to on my way to Orillia to see Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. And we're doing things a little different tonight. I'm in the car. I'm driving there. I'm gonna talk a little on the way there. I'm gonna talk a little on the way back. We'll see what happens in between. And I'll put it all together. And this is, by the way, this is Thursday, May something, 20 something. And so instead of a Thursday podcast, you're getting a Friday podcast this week. But it'll work. I'll make it work somehow. And we'll get it out to you. But anyway, you are listening to Ramble On Radio on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network, and this is literally off the cuff. I'm driving. I have no notes. You can listen to Ramble On Radio on Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. And listen, if you're on Spreaker, follow me, Ramble On Radio. You can download it at iTunes. And if you go to iTunes, they have an option to leave a review. Even if you're not, you know, whatever you're doing on iTunes, pop on over, leave a review. And it helps with the placement of the podcast in their search engine. And I'm trying to think, it's on Podbean. I am Brian Demet at Podbean is where the file originates from. And I believe they have an app you can download and listen to. They're there. And we're on YouTube at Ramble On Radio. And I have some previous ones that you can watch me actually do the video. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And I try to talk to, answer, et cetera, all that. Whatever you do on those social networks. So I'm driving along here, and I've been listening to Sammy Hagar and The Circle, the new live album featuring Jason Bonham, who I'm on my way to Orillia to see. Do you want the geography as I'm driving here? I'm just passing Lake Joseph. Lake Joseph is... hey, hold on a minute. Everything's backwards. Lake Joseph is where the rich people live around here. They all have cottages overlooking the lake. All the NHL hockey players, whatnot. But somehow, do you know what? I have gotten turned around completely, and I'm going the wrong way. That appears to be the case. This is crazy. Go figure that. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should be concentrating on the drive. Anyway, so I'm listening to Sammy Hagar as we go. And Sammy's Jason Bonham on drums, of course. And only a couple tracks into it. Sounds pretty good. It's good hard rock. Sammy Hagar, of course. Look, it's a good band. Jason Bonham on drums. Michael Anthony, you know, Van Halen's bassist for all those years on bass. Some guy you never heard of on guitar is the only downside. And he's an 80s style hotshot, maybe the big downside of this band. And Sammy Hagar, who comes from his own solo work, Van Halen, Montrose. And Montrose is a band, you may never have heard of Montrose. Lots of people haven't, I would suspect. But what happened with Montrose is one of those, in the 70s, were full of bands that that were good, really good. that some guys knew, some people were fans of. Here we go. I've got to figure out my mapping here. Okay, got it. Every music fan had a band they liked that everybody else, the other friends didn't like, you know? And there were all these acts that were fairly popular, that everybody knew who they were, and everybody knew somebody who loved them, right? Pat Travers Band was an example. Bands you may never have heard of, or may have only heard one or two tracks, or bands that have kind of hit in the 80s. And so you sadly think of them as this 80s band when they had some really, really good stuff in the 70s. And Montrose is one of those bands. I had a guy I hung out with who was a big Montrose fan. Myself, I dug April Wine before they were April Wine. Well, when they were April Wine, but they were a four-piece, kind of a classic rock band, more than an arena rock band they became in the 80s. I was really into April Wine. I liked Pat Travers. I had a neighbor who loved Pat Travers, and I got into Pat Travers somewhat. Sensational. Some guys loved the Sensational Alex Harvey Band. There are all these bands like this that had good careers, that even if you didn't love them, you respected them musically. And Montrose was one of those bands. And so Sammy Hagar has a long line. Everybody knows who he is. And this is a solid band, and it's a good sounding album. So far, it's a good sounding album. Although I suspect, much like some of Jason's other works, California Breed, there's not going to be a lot of mellow. There's going to be a lot of hard rock, not a lot of going easy rock. Hey, I found my turn. I missed it coming from the other direction, is what happened. I just found it. So we're going to, it was only a couple of kilometers into the drive and I completely missed it. So, anyway, so that's, I'll review it a little more detail in the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to talk about today, but we're right in the middle of 40 years since Earl's Court. I'm going to have to cover that base fairly soon. And we're actually coming up on 35 years since... did you hear my Daffy Duck in the background here? That's driving me nuts. Okay, there we go. Shut him up. That's my GPS telling me how to get to Aurelia. And he's not happy because I've gone off the beaten track. But I know where I'm going, so it's not a big deal. So we're right in the middle of the Earl's Court stuff. So next week I'll end up talking about Earl's Court. Five shows, three and a half, 4 hour shows. Probably Led Zeppelin at their very best. And sadly, the bootlegs I have of it, that I got on my that MP3 collection of six discs on MP3 has all the kind of known bootlegs. None of them are very good quality Earl's Court ones. There are some good quality Earl's Courts, but the ones I've been listening to are spotty at best. But I think I can still talk knowledgeably about the shows, and I might have to try and get Dave Lewis on in the next little while. He's pimping his new book, Five Glorious Nights, about the Earl Court shows. So it's a big picture book. Do a Google search for it. Obviously, I can't provide a link right now. But just Google Five Glorious Nights. Dave Lewis contributed. I think he edited it more than wrote it. And it's more of a picture book, and it's about £100 plus shipping. It's quite pricey, and therefore I won't have a copy. But you can certainly look for a copy and grab that. But Dave's... I might try to get Dave on. This is kind of where he really shines on the Led Zeppelin stuff. Earl's Court is... He saw all five nights. He knows these shows inside out and backwards. And, he's just glorying in the 40-year anniversary right now. So So we'll next week or so we'll talk about Earl's Court, and I'll talk about Jason Bonham. But today I want to have a quick chat about Shake It and Stir It, Little Robert Plant. 30 anniversaries. What a big difference between Earl's Court in 75, Shake It and Stir It in 85, and Page and Plant in 95. If you took like Physical Graffiti from 75, and if you stuck Shake It and Stir It in the middle of those two, you'd almost get a good sense, a good transition. It's a good bridge album. Look, let's be blunt. Shake It and Stir It's not a very interesting album. It's not a very good album. It's an album. We played a wonderful clip here, and I may intro it. I have not sorted out my intro yet, so forgive me that, but I may well intro with, if I still have it on my computer, Robbie Blunt talking about being given the Roland synthesizer guitar, and being told, figure it out, you know, we're going to use it on the album. The album is Shaken and Stirred. He basically took that very good band from the first couple of albums, who were interesting and unique, and said, "Nah, we're going to do boring new wave stuff. Lots of synthesizers, lots of drum machines. Let's go, let's do it." The band wasn't enthusiastic. The band was not into his plan. I suspect the band also was tired, had worked hard, were getting some success, and maybe hadn't occurred to them how hard you have to work to be that successful, and how hard you have to work to stay that successful. I think there's been a hint or two from Robert Plant through the years that he felt he was working harder than everybody else. But certainly they were displeased with the direction he went with this, and he was the boss. And the Robbie Blunt story goes, you know, he's been given the Roland guitar. Robert ordered it for him, and of course made him pay for it. And then he was complaining he couldn't make it work properly. And there's a delay, because when you play it, and then there's kind of a second delay before the note actually appears. And he would say, you know, I can't make the bloody thing work. It's driving me good. Robert said, well, Jimmy can make it work. Jimmy's fine with it. And so eventually Benji Lefebvre called Jimmy's guitar tech and said, how's he making it work? And he says, oh, he's throwing the bloody thing out, hasn't he? So I have that. If I have that clip, yeah, I'll probably throw it into the intro or in the outro or right here, right now. In between the two clips, I have to figure out some way to transition the clips I'm doing, so that could go in there. But so a lot of synthesizers, lots of drum machines, lots of, you know, he's not sampling yet, but he's, and it's an awkward album, and even the best song on it, the hit on it, Little by Little, is not really a very good song. And listening to it, there's two or three songs that I quite liked better than Little by Little even, but yeah, it's not a prize album. It's not a great one. But lots of guys, the interesting thing I find about this is lots of bands, lots of artists, their third album is an odd one. It's like a transition album. They'll do what they do for the first couple albums, then the third album, they say, I kind of want to do something different, and they got an idea, and the third album seems to be, and often they're excellent albums, but often seem a bit disjointed from, and then the next album you go, oh, okay. Led Zeppelin certainly did that. Their third album was completely different than the first two. Complete everybody besides, and people, and you would, yeah, I think it's an excellent album, but listening to it, you would say, what the hell is going on there? And there is something awkward about it. It doesn't all fit together like an album. A lot of albums roll together very nice. It doesn't. It feels like a collection of songs. And, but then you get to the fourth album and you go, okay, I see what they were after. See, they were starting to bring the mandolins and the acoustic songs in. And, you kind of go, oh, I see now. I get it. So the third album is, you know, transitions to the fourth in a way. And it, you know, what band comes out that transition? And it's not an uncommon phenomenon. It happened a fair bit, especially back then. And I think this album, after two, plant's doing the same. Okay, now it's time to change gears a bit, and the transition is very awkward. But the weird thing is, plant didn't then continue the transition. He got rid of this band, brought in new producers, went and did Now and Then, which is a completely different album. But you know, he's still in the back of his mind. He never left. And if you go, like I say, if you went Physical Graffiti, Shaken and Stirred, and Unleaded, you might go, oh, okay, I see where he's going with that. And I would argue, if you listen to those first two solo albums and you listen to what he's doing now, that third album, Shaken and Stirred, is a transition album to where he eventually got to. It's just that he didn't complete the transition at the time. He seemed to have... It didn't go what he thought. It didn't go the way... Maybe he didn't even like the results, and he thought, okay, so that's the wrong way. And he made another change in direction. But he slowly... And if you listen to it, I think it is much more in common with some stuff he does now than with anything he... anything he was doing before. And yeah, it makes for an interesting... Uh-oh, road traffic. I have to stop. Okay. There's a guy in a yellow jacket telling me, go slow. So forgive me if I talk slow for a minute. oh, wait. He doesn't mean talk. There's a guy right into his, like, on his knees with his arms into the road. That's hard work. God bless him. And I think Shaken and Stirred is an interesting album in that regard. I would say not an entertaining album, but not a good album by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think. Not anybody's favorite album, I don't think. But interesting. Interesting placed in context. I think it's a bit interesting. I said, I think the first song is very kind of techno almost, but poppy and good. That's called Hip to Who. And there was another one called, I think it was Pink and Black. I think it was the other one that I quite liked. I thought it was quite good. But Little by Little, not so much. Little by Little is okay. But there's a big drop-off after that. You get those three songs, and there's a big drop-off. And there's just some odd stuff that doesn't seem to work. I can't remember. I listened to this now, and I was going, holy Jesus, I don't think I even know some of these songs, you know? I God knows when the last time I actually listened to this album was. Being that distant from it, being as I have not listened to it in that long, I thought it was extremely interesting how it just felt like a transition album. It just felt like it worked very nicely from one part to the other. Okay, listen, I'm gonna here's what's gonna happen. I'm driving into Rosso, by the way, Rosso Lake Rosso. Rosseau, if you want to look it up on the map. Cutting across from Parry Sound to Huntsville, for if you want to get that. And then we're going to go down. And I've given myself some time. I got a day off work here. I give myself some time. And I'm in Parry Sound because that's where my in-laws live. And so it's an hour down to the casino, but I'm going to take an hour and a half, two-hour route. And the hope is that I'm going to see a moose or something and get some pictures. I got my camera beside me. Maybe a hawk, or, you know, you're traveling through some beautiful cottage areas, cottage country, the lake country, as they would say in a Jane Austen novel. Of course, she wasn't talking about this particular lake country, but that's kind of the scene here. The Rosso Village Winery. Antiques. Why is there a U in antiques? So we're driving through Rosso, but I'm gonna cut off now. I'm gonna go back to listen to my Sammy Hagar, or put on the sports station and listen about my hockey team. The Toronto Maple Leafs just hired themselves a big coach, which as a longtime Leaf fan, I can assure everybody, it just means he's gonna turn out to be a dud. The more they spend, the worse the project gets. So, but I'm gonna go off and do that. Enjoy my evening. On the way home after the show, I am going to click it on, and I'll tell you about the show. So I'm going to talk about Jason Bonham, Led Zeppelin Experience show that I just saw. I'll give it a review, and this will be a no time to think about a review. Walk out the door, get on the back roads, and once I'm on the back road, I'll click on and go, here we go, let's see where we're at. And I'll just talk about what I just saw. And I'm hoping to hook up with James Dillon after the show. There was talk. I've been in contact with him. But I'm not. Remember, we interviewed a couple of months ago, or just before Christmas, right? And he said, we have to hook it up so you meet Jason. That's not happening. Jason is not hanging around after shows. He's not hanging around before the shows. They're hardly seeing him on this tour. He's showing up, doing the show, and leaving again. Which is yet another sign, in my mind, it's yet another sign that Led Zeppelin money is starting to come into Jason Bonham. I'm guessing Celebration Day money is coming, because he's bought a bunch of cars. He built a garage, he's bought a bunch of cars. Now, instead of riding the bus on the tour, it seems to be he's coming and going separately. So, rock star Jason, I will not be meeting. Apparently he's now out of my sphere of influence, and that's fine. But it's not going to happen. It doesn't sound like, unless something very strange happens. Which, hey, other times I thought I was going to meet him and I never did, so who knows? Maybe this will be, they'll surprise me again. But anyway, that's going to be it for now. There'll be a brief interruption in the middle. I'll throw a sound clip. Maybe I'll try and record a 30 seconds of the concert for an in-between clip. If I get backstage and talk to the guys, I'll try and get everybody to say something. But I don't know how much of that sort of thing is going to be going on. So we'll see what plays in the next couple of hours, and then I'll be back. I'll talk to you about it, and I'll piece it together, and we'll call it a podcast. All right. So I'll see you in a couple of hours. You guys just hold tight. Say what? Oh, this is Brian. Call me coming home from the show, Gardner. And you are listening to Ramble On Radio episode, I don't even know, 90-some-odd, I guess. The second half, part two. So I'm on my way home. It's 1:30 in the morning. I've just left the casino about 20 minutes ago. Kind of got out of town and then turned this thing on. So, good show. If you got a chance to catch Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience, and that's the show, I was at Casino Rama. If you got a chance to catch them, they get better every time, I think. They really do. These guys, they were on fire tonight. Some things are different. With Steve LeBlanc gone, they have a different keyboard player, and he plays pretty much strictly keyboards, a little bit of acoustic guitar on one or two songs, and that was it. He doesn't do a lap steel, he doesn't do any electric guitar playing, he just plays keys, which means on non-key songs, they're really, and I think he's a more bare bones player too than LeBlanc was. It means it's more of a stripped down act, and I'll tell you, they started the set and ended as a four-piece. They didn't have the keyboard player on stage. It started with Song Remains the Same, and they ended with, they did Stairway, then for encores it was Kashmir had keyboards, then Immigrant Song and Rock and Roll. And talking after the show to James, Immigrant Song was a variable, or an audible, sorry, audible, the old Bruce Springsteen. Audibles, which is to say, Jason called it out on stage. So it's a more stripped down, leaner kind of version, and it suits very nicely. They're doing Tony Catania really standing out, really kind of really focused on sound, and he just comes out on top. They were good. They were so good. Just wow. They're a wow band. They really are. You got to. Hey, oh wow. And I got a chance afterwards to talk to Tony, and God bless his heart, he remembered me, which I never thought he would, because I talked to him a little year and a half ago, and then I wrote the big article, but he remembered me straight up, and funny, the last couple of times I've seen him, he's been talkative and stuff. Before that, and I don't mean just with me, but with other people, before that, I was found him a bit shy, would be the word, I think. Yeah, quite, you know, telling stories, and quite happy to do so. Talking to people, shook my hand two or three times, you know, a nice, yeah, I like him, nice guy. I spent a lot of time with James. I got a chance to really chat up James. He had a friend out who plays bass with his Virtual Zeppelin project. And I don't think I knew this. I wonder who knows this. I don't think I know this. I knew this. I got to look at the bio I wrote on him and see if it's in there. But he was actually being considered for a reunited Led Zeppelin when Robert Plant, when they were talking about going out without Robert Plant, it was John Paul Jones who stumbled across him and said, well, what about this guy? And he was being looked at for that. And when that fell through, that's when Jason kind of got in touch with him and said, you know, this is what I'm doing. But he, I was going to say, what's his name? Miles Kennedy and Steve Tyler were seriously considered for this. And apparently James, which I didn't know. And a matter of fact, I had heard that Paul Sinclair from Get the Lead Out had been talked to about the same, about the gig, playing with Jason. Somewhere down the road. So I don't know what the truth is and all that, but that was an interesting piece. But real different set list tonight, real interesting songs in some cases. I mean, they did Stairway to Heaven and Cashmere. They didn't do a whole lot of Love. They didn't do Days to Confuse. They did, get this, an acoustic set. Now, by set, I mean one song, Going to California. And it would be nice, you know, but it was just the three of them, no Jason. Is Tony, James, and Dorian Hodgson, which is really the core of the band now, I think. Jason's the leader, but I'm being told that Jason kind of showing up to the shows just before the shows, leaves right after the shows. He's not traveling with the band anymore, that sort of thing. So, it sounds like, you know, because Jason's bought some cars too, right? And build a garage. Sounds like the Led Zeppelin money's starting to come in. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like the Led Zeppelin money started to roll in. The Celebration Day money's rolling in. And so he's living a little higher. No more bus rides for him. Or much fewer bus rides, maybe. So they started with, and I don't have the set list in front of me, and even if I did, I wouldn't be rhyming it off because it's bad enough that I'm actually talking to you while driving. They started off with Song Remains the Same, and I'm trying to think where they went with that. Then they said, I had originally heard they were going to be doing Led Zeppelin 1 and 2 in their entirety. That was kind of the original advertisements for the show, but they didn't do that. But he did kind of say, we'll do some stuff from Led Zeppelin 1. And they did Good Times, Bad Times, and I Can't Quit You. Yeah, I Can't Quit You with Tony Catania on the Telecaster on the fire. Just really, really rocking it out. He's he's a great blues lead player. He can really do that stuff. And he shorted. Then they did What Is One Should Never Be. And then Over the Hills and Far Away. Because I remember thinking it was, you know, one, two, and Houses of the Holy. Then they did their acoustic number, which was Going to California. And after that, they rolled out the barrel. I'm trying to think, In the Evening. And I don't know how my clips turned out. I pulled a couple of clips. But In the Evening, the intro to In the Evening is one of the clips. And they did a really cool version of In the Evening. Very, kind of a fun version. The chorus has a very kind of pop feel to it, almost pop feel, I suppose, in much the same way that, say, The Ocean has a pop feel. But very clean, very, I'd say, pared back a bit, not as full and busy sounding as the album version, and it worked really well. Excuse me. It's 2:40 in the morning, so forgive my yawns. And they, I was really, really enjoying that. And they went from In the Evening to All My Love. I did a really nice version of that. Tony Catania on the B bender, just nailing the B bend, those B bender hits. And you know, afterwards he was talking to some people, and he was talking about going to see these guys that do recreations of the album, and he says, you know, and they have 12 people on stage each doing each track, and he says it's like they're missing the point of it. He kind of, you know, it was an interesting perspective, and he felt, and I think there's room for both. I think there's a lot of room for both. I think look, this music is going to be, and I have a friend, James, who sees Get the Lead Out a lot, who talks about this. This is his kind of line, but it's like going to see Mozart. You know, these guys aren't playing anymore, and 10 years from now, they're all going to be not playing at all, right? And that's not just Led Zeppelin. That's the Stones, or Townsend, Daltrey, or... Hey, did you hear the story? Did you hear Roger Daltrey? Sidebar alert. Roger Daltrey stopped the concert the last night, I think it was, and complained about all the marijuana smoke. And if they don't stop, if they don't cut it out, he's going to leave the stage. He can't sing with all this marijuana smoke in the air. can you imagine? But apparently he did. Now, which goes to prove that Roger Daltrey did not die before he got old. He's definitely an old geezer now. Complaining about these kids smoking their funny cigarettes. And, at least he didn't stop and start complaining about people taking pictures on their cell phones, right? nice work, Roger. Hope I die before I get old, indeed. Hope I die before I get that old, that's for sure. anyway, but yeah, look, so bands like bands that do classic albums live, The Division Bell or whatever, that's how we're going to be presented with this music in a live, or bands that are doing like Jason Bonham's doing, which is recreating more stylistically. And over time, bands like this will get lost. It will become more and more note for note, I think. Much like in the classical world, people sit and I kind of talked about this a bit. I think at Christmas, just before Christmas, we were in New York. We went and seen a Baroque, all-female Baroque orchestra. And it was a four-piece. And Baroque tends to be very... modern Baroque players tend to think that it's very mathematical, very Pythagorean or whatever. Bach or whoever. And they play it very up-tempo. And it's very tick-tick-tick metronomy. These guys didn't do that. These guys bounced back and forth between each other, and the tempos were a little slower. And, you know, there was a lot of dynamics, a lot of really, but human dynamics, you know, again, modern players have a tendency to be, play their dynamics exactly as written, without sense of touch or without sense of feel to it. And so this Baroque Orchestra did that, and were wonderful. It was wonderfully musical, as well as wonderful music. And that's kind of what Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience is like. They're playing the dynamics. Tony talking a lot afterwards about what pickups he's using and what songs, and he's moving around between the different pickups, this pickup to that pickup to that pickup to this pickup, and it shows in his playing. It shows in his tone and his tone control, etc., etc. And I think bands like this have become rarer as time goes on. But it's all, this is how we're going to get our classic rock. Led Zeppelin's not going back out with or without James Dillon. It's really, really unlikely to happen. Oh, there's a car there. Now I don't see that car. Hope I know where I'm going, because this, my GPS is very confused about where I am right now. I think I was supposed to do something else. Yeah, I'm going south. No, I'm not. I'm turning around. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. Anyway, I'll just keep talking. Middle of the night, pitch black, missed my turn. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. All right. Yeah, back on the road that the GPS likes. I missed something here. But I don't know what it is. Anyway. So, yeah, so, I mean, this is how this music's going to present itself to us in the very near future, I think. Oh, it's closed. The friggin' exit. That's why I missed the exit. It's closed. What the hell am I going to do now? I hate this. It's the middle of the night. I'm supposed to figure out how to fucking get to the highway? Are you kidding me? This is the way it goes. Anyway, I'm wondering if I should just go the way I was going. Yeah, I'll turn. So anyway, let's see. So after all my love, the nice little, I'm trying to think, little Levee Breaks, and the boys have always done that well. So that works for everybody. But they did a nice job of When the Levee Breaks. They've always done a nice job of that. Nice work with Stairways. Tony Catania uses the stand, the acoustic guitar stand. And I don't know. Apparently this is taking me there, but I don't know how. And it works really well with Stairway. And again, less keyboards, more subtle, more laid back. Steve really kind of piled it on towards the end. And I don't mean to imply that Steve LeBlanc is a worse or better keyboard player. Different styles keyboard player. Steven was much busier. He was filling a lot of holes. He played electric guitar on some songs when he didn't play something else, or he had a slide lap steel, and he would, on something like Levee Breaks, he would be kind of doubling over Tony. Whereas in this case, it was just Tony. It was a three-piece band. Well, that was an oh, I just I got pulled over. Good news is he gave me a little chitty chat about going. Actually, was going a bit quicker than I thought I was. Gave me a bit of a chitty chat and let me go without a ticket. So nice, one of the nicer cops you'll meet there. He even warned me, watch out for the moose. Be careful of the moose, because I'm in the back roads of, central / northern Ontario. And people do hit moose around here, and they do show up at night. So I'm over to the highway. I'm on the highway now where I can drive 110 without attracting the attention of the local authorities. And, but anyway, I'm going to wrap. I'm going to call that a wrap. I think the one thing I wanted to mention before I go. So I was talking a bit about Steve, the former keyboard player. And just was a busy year. He made it a busier band. And not better, not worse, but busier. But with the less busy, there's a little more space. And this band breathes a little more now. I said to Tony Catania, I felt it's more of a stripped-back band. And he disagreed with me. He said, no, same size. But it just felt like there was more room in the sound. And that it was something that worked very well. And I guess I mentioned, it's talking about the keyboard players, they did trampled underfoot. I don't know why I mentioned that in the, what was the other one? I had another one in my head there that they did as a keyboard song. Can't think of it offhand. Can't think of it now. But anyway, Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. Such a solid show. People afterwards were talking, everybody had talking. And, everybody's out chatting and stuff. And people are just blown away how good these guys are. It's all, we kept hearing out front afterwards. It was unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. So, it was a good night, a good positive experience, a good show. And recommend it. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. You get a chance to catch any of the shows in the next little while. Recommended. Such a good band. Such a good show. And that's it. That's Ramble on Radio, episode 90 some odd. Calling it at night. Check us out on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Podbean, and on YouTube. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Facebook, on Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And that's it for Ramble on Radio for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about Earl's Court back in the Dungeon Studio. And that's it. So have a good week. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good week. And I'll talk to you next week.
I mean, if I listen to it now, I go, whoa.
Switch off the internet.